Yeah. What up, cuz?
We back.
We back in the building. Well, the digital building.
We got the original music this time. We got the theme music.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a track I'm working on.
Have you made this, cuz?
I made that. On the low. I think it's been almost a while. First of all, one time for my cousin. Back in the building. I never meant to ask you, when you left New York at a young age, moved to the South, moved to Florida, and now you're based in ATL for how many years now?
It's been about 11 years now, since 2013 officially.
Okay. So you've been in ATL for a while, you're doing videography, doing directing, doing editing. You're now what's your official title at Fanbase, a new social media phenomenon? What do you have there?
Content producer / editor.
You're a content producer under Isaac Hayes III.
Yes, so black owned tech company, Fanbase, social media app. Yes, owned by the famous Isaac Hayes the son. Isaac Hayes the son. Isaac Hayes the third. Mm-hmm. Amazing platform.
Rest in peace, Isaac Hayes, the god, by the way. Rest in peace to him.
Yes, definitely. I know some of y'all caught that reference in Kendrick's video. Saying? But yeah, great company. And it's amazing working in the tech space and working in the black owned tech space. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are. You're working in black owned tech. And I know when you first got on for Fanbase, you were very excited. You hit me up. And just for the record, you know, before we get into your tenure right now in Fanbase, you've been on the scene for a while working in media. Like I said, you direct videos. You work with the likes of the Rick Rosses, recently 2 Chainz. I know you had a great work relationship at one point with Gunplay and countless others. You know, you made your rounds in the South, for sure. Can you tell me briefly, like, why have you been directing videos? What got you into videos? What got you into directing? What got you into this space of creating?
So I was blessed to, know what I wanted to do since high school. Since I was a child, my mother always had a camera around, big VHS joints. You know what I'm saying? You pop VHS tape in that shit. So I used to, in high school, I just picked the camera up one day and started filming my friends. Mm-hmm. I was vlogging before vlogging, this is all documented. We can pull it up. Maybe when we make little clips, I'll include little clips, but this is 2003, 2004, 2005. I'm going out filming my friends. We on the beach, spring break. Messing with all types of getting into all types of fun. And, I used to be in school editing the projects and just put it on DVD and me and my friends sit back and watch it. I mean, even before that in high school, I used to be in the TV production class. So I used to record people in school doing dances. Then I used to edit it with the music video, so for example, Harlem Shake was the thing back then. I used to record people doing the Harlem Shake and mix it in with the Puff Daddy videos, all that,
Hold on, the proper Harlem Shake, not the one I saw like 10 years ago with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, not the new TikTok.
Not the bougie
yeah.
Shake.
Yeah, no. The real Harlem Shake, G-Dep.
You gotta crack your shoulder.
Yeah, special delivery,
The G-Dep Shake.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was into it since high school, just stuck on it. Obviously as a young kid watching music videos was definitely an influence. I went to school for film and, as you're getting older, you start thinking about like, hey, how can I make some money from this? Like, I'm gonna start needing some money. One thing about me, my father, My father, as you know, my father worked at KFC since I was born, you know, was able to provide for me and my family, my sister, mother. My mom never worked a day in her life. He was able to move his family from, you know, New York.
So she never worked while being
one
in America?
One day. I'm 38 years old. She never worked one day.
Do you know that's a blessing? Especially in today's economy, especially, but in general.
All this talk about what type of man you want to get and your man has to make XYZ and 50-50 and my father said, hey, you're having a second child. I don't want you to work anymore. And held it down. Working at KFC.
I remember those days.
He never a manager at KFC, not corporate, not literally going in 10-hour, 12-hour days.
The hustle and bustle of it.
You know what I'm saying? And was able to move his family from New York, a little two-bedroom apartment in New York, to a nice three-bedroom home in Florida, you know.
He from the Kentucky Fried Chicken era, not the KFC era. He from the
Kentucky Fried. Before they had to change their name. See, you're smart.
The white bag. It was the white bag with the red logo. That era, yes. Not the brown bag today. No, don't get twisted. I've been on my hold up. Yeah, hey y'all. I've been on my fitness bag, so I'm out the game. I'm out the fast food game. I'm healed. You know what I'm saying? I had recent health, not complications, but recent health concerns, and I'm tooling up. So this is the old me talking about me. It's the old me reference. But yeah, the white bag era. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes.
So yeah, you were saying.
So yeah, I mean,
he moved you down south to Florida.
He moved this down south. And so I bring all that up to say I see how my dad used to go to work every day. And, you know, it's not that. I never saw him complain about anything. But seeing that growing up, I just said, you know what? I want to do something that makes me happy every day. You know, I don't want to just be stuck at any kind of job just because. So, you know, I really said, hey, I'm going to try to shoot videos. I'm going to try to make income from doing what I love to do. You know what I mean? So that's what I started doing. Obviously, I'm a big hip hop fan. So that's the genre that I said, hey, I want to start working with different types of artists. So I just started, you know, in college, just started hustle bustle, like you said, and, you know, hollering at different artists. Yo, let me shoot your video. I was shooting videos for free. We could get into that later. Like, you know, that's what got me working with Ross. You know, shooting videos for free, it's been my passion ever since I was young.
I asked because, you know, I grew up a big music head, of course. I love music. I grew up with a family of a father and grandfather who were musicians. So I've always had music in my blood. It's something that I love to do, love to create on the humble, quietly, but I still do it. But I'm also a big film guy. I've always been to not just actual film and writing and scripts and watching film and following certain directors and their journeys and their visions. Rest in peace to David Lynch, who passed away last week. Great director. But also, I always enjoyed music videos. So growing up, you know, in the 90s, in the golden era, I would follow a Paul Hunter video, a Hype Williams video. I'm forgetting people who were such great directors. There's so many. Little X, of course, in the 2000s came in. Or X is now he's related, as he's referred to. But, you know, I was always into seeing people's condensed visions in a 3-minute, 4-minute, 5-minute video. You know what I'm saying? Yo, people, you know, like, on the macro, on the outside looking in, you may look at Lil' Kim's Crush on You video, like, oh, it's just a chick in, you know, thin clothing.
No, rapping.
But there's the colors usage and
it's
the
so glaciers. Much, so much there's, different there's so aspects much, of that yeah. video that makes it amazing. Like
right, and I think there's art in that. There's art in that. Yes. So you know, I always knew that even if you're a director or a videographer, you can always imprint your own texture onto an artist and leave your mark on an artist. So I'm always excited when you do something. I know last February you were at the Grammys. You were supporting a project that you helped on, I believe.
Yes.
Talk about that experience.
working with a children's DJ. His name is DJ Willy Wow. I started my film journey doing just up and coming artists, rappers. So, you know, that type of lifestyle, you know, that they live. So I got tired of filming those types of videos. You know, I was feeling like I was being part of the problem. So I'm like, you know what? I need to work on more positive things. So I linked up with this children's DJ. He makes, you know, educational hip hop music for children. So I'm like, I need to push them. And he makes great music. So I'm like, I need to get with him, connected with him. We just started working, you know, building over the years, shooting videos. So more recently, he had an album and, you know, we filmed, if I forgot how many tracks that album has, but if it has 15 tracks, we filmed about 10 music videos.
Wow.
And that album got nominated for a Grammy.
Wow.
So I was able to go out there and experience LA Grammy time, Grammy after party, you know. It was
cool. Don't get in trouble out there.
No. And you know, I'm connected out there too, so I was good. I linked up with some people out there. But yes, it was all cool. You know, it was a blessing. It was a blessing.
Speaking of connected, let me ask you a random question. How do you feel about the term? Because you're from a different town. I mean, you are in Atlanta now. I'm here in New York still. How do you feel about the term checking in? You hear cats saying, "Yo, when you're in my town, you're in my city, check in." How do you feel about that connotation of "Yo, come check in"? Like, what do you feel when you hear that?
It depends who you are.
Okay, it's funny you say that because you'll hear a cat from Detroit like a trick when he says cats should check in. He may feel like, or he may come off like, you should bless me, you know, take care of me when you come into town. And then in turn, I'll make sure you're safe in certain areas. Where some people feel like, yo, checking in means, let me know that you touched down, that you landed, and I'll tell you where to go, where not to go, and I'll tell people to look out for you, but you don't owe me anything. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like when I hear checking in, it annoys me at times because usually I hear the connotation of, You gotta look out for me so I can look out for you. When really, let's say you're a host. Let's say you're a host of a party and people come to your house. You don't have to pay to get into the door. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to. You know, you come to my house because I invited you to my house or because I welcome you with open arms to my house. That don't mean you owe me like $5 to walk in the crib. So I feel like maybe it's courteous in a way to, like, you know, if you're coming into somebody's town, to show them love with not just actual love, but something like a gift or whatever. But like, I feel like it should be genuine. It shouldn't be forced. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, like I said, it depends on who you are. I think that the people, when people say, you know, the people that are saying you have to check in, they're not saying that and not demanding something behind it. They're not saying you got to check in, but I don't want nothing from it. Like, the people that are saying check in, they want something from it. So I feel like sometimes it's a form of extortion because, for just because you brought up Trick, you know, he may feel like, hey, if you're going to come to Detroit and make X amount of dollars, you know what I mean? You need to give me a percentage and I'll make sure nothing happens to you, right? That's cool, right? But what if I come with my own protection? You know, what if I don't need Trick's protection? I'm a celebrity. I have paid armed security with me. I don't need to check in. Sometimes that's how these people feel, especially if they don't know the person. It's like, I don't know you. What am I checking in for? So yeah, I just feel like sometimes it's a form of extortion.
I with that being said, I feel like sometimes, especially in the hip hop / street world, we are more predatory than we are collaborative. You know what I'm saying?
In the Black community in general.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we're a lot more adversarial at times than we are like welcoming and like
It's like you said, it's about competition versus collaboration.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And I'm glad you said competition, because I remember one time I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. And he did not like what I said. And what I said was, we were talking about grades first, school grades. So I'm still in my master's program teaching. And I said to him, yo, all my life, including now, I never check my grades. Never. Like, I'm not the type of person to, like, you know, look for my GPA or look for my what grade I got in this class or this test or whatever. I always just said, hey, I did the best I could. I handed it in. The semester's over. Whatever happens, happens. I'm sure I passed, I guess, but who cares? And, you know, I'll get a letter in the mail saying, or an email saying, congratulations, you're on the dean's list. And I'm like, oh, I guess I did well. You know what I mean? I guess I, whatever. But I didn't really, like, look for it. I wasn't sweating about it. I wasn't, you know, perspiring about it. I wasn't, you know, going crazy, because I felt like, what's the point? This shit can't kill me. You know what I'm saying? It does cost money to go to school, no doubt, but it's not going to be the end of me. So, but he was like, you bugging. You should always be on top of your stuff. And I get it. But then he was like, then I told him, yo, I'm not even competitive. I'm not competitive with people. He's like, what do you mean? We all should be competitive. We're all men. We all should be competitive. And I'm like, I get it. People who are ultra competitive. I get it. But I'm not. So, like, let's say I'm playing ball with a bunch of friends outside. Yo, I want to make sure you look good. So I'm throwing you extra passes. I'm making the right plays. I'm being as least macho as possible on the court. I'm making sure I set you up with the right fundamental play.
That's you. That's you. Somebody else may feel like, hey, I'm with my friends. This is the perfect time to show my macho-ness because they're my friends and they won't take it personal. So this is why friends can, yeah, fuck you there. This is my shit. Yeah. And then after, just dap up. And you know what I mean?
And I get that too. I get that in the throes of a heightened, shortened time span, you can turn up and be super masculine and go at it with somebody. And if people are on my team like that, shoot, I'll even like tap you. You know, I'll even like support you even more. Like, but like, I'm the type of cat where like, if you opposing me, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to try to fuck with you. You know, I'm going to follow the fundamentals and play the game correctly. But if you hit a nice shot on me, I'm going to be like, yo, nice shot. You know what I mean?
Credit when credit's due.
Yeah. Or, oh, good shit. I'm, oh, shit. And then I hustle back on my end. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people can't do that. You know what I'm saying? I got a homie who, you know, it's hard. You don't want to have him on your team when you're playing because it's easy to get in his head. If they start trash talking him, he's extra dribbling behind the back, wasting time. Thank God there's no shot clock in a pickup game. You know what I'm saying? Because he'd be in the backcourt just, you know, showing up. If there's girls on the bleachers that come by, forget about it. You know what I'm saying? He can go extra hard for the girls. It's like, yo, we're here for exercise. I'm here for my heart rate. I'm not here to, like, show off. It's not that serious. But there's some people out there, yo, they want to compete, especially dudes. They want to compete. So, and they want to let you know their skill set. Me personally, I try to be quiet with my skill set. I don't want you to know how I move or what I do or what I got in my toolbox. I don't want you to know. I want it to be a surprise. You know what I'm saying? Because the best element is a surprise element. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big boxing fan. In boxing, they always say, the best punch or the hardest punch is the punch you didn't see coming. You know what I'm saying? If you're playing good defense and you see a punch coming, you can squint and tighten up and just take it. Like, oh shit, I can't block it, so I'm gonna take it. But at least I know it's coming, so my mind is ready for it. But if you fucking up and you're not playing defense right and you don't see a punch coming, it can hurt you even more. You know what I'm saying? Because of the shock factor. So I try to live by that code of ethics. You know what I'm saying? Lay low and keep firing. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
But yeah, we got off a tangent, though. My bad.
Yeah. No, that's all good.
But yo, since we're here, I want to holler at you because, like I said, you in the South, S-O-U-F, and whether it was New Orleans or Louisiana in general, whether it was ATL, your city, or whether it was North Florida, I saw Pensacola, I saw Florida get hit with snowstorms. I saw snowstorms this past week. And I'm jealous because, my homeboy's girlfriend, she goes to school in Louisiana, They had school off for a week. By the way, college, graduate school, not no high school, real like graduate school. But yeah, they was off for a week. I saw schools in Florida out for a week, Louisiana off for a few days, New Orleans. So I'm like, yo. And then I saw people on the streets having fun, making snow angels, having snowball fights, shit like that. I'm like, God damn, they're having fun down there. So what was it like for you?
Listen, we had two snow days, 1 week and then the next week another snow flurry. But the first week, Atlanta needed that. Atlanta needed that snow day. I feel like everybody had the day off. It made everybody calm. We haven't seen snow in a few years. The last snowstorm, you know, people weren't ready. It shut the city down. People were stuck in their cars on the highway. But this snowstorm, it's like everybody was a little bit more prepared. It was like 3-4 inches of snow. It was beautiful. Everybody was outside playing in the snow. I feel like everybody just needed to see that beauty. You know what I mean? And yeah, it was nice. I feel like it just calmed the city down. Nobody was worried about any type of, you know, it's 3-4 inches of snow. People can't really move around, so nobody's really worried about any violence. No, you know, all the Jack boys were calm. You know, everybody was chilling. You know what I mean? And yeah, I just feel like it brought the kid out in everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody had to go out and touch the snow. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, I feel like the city needed that.
Good.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Like I said, I saw that. I saw that energy. I saw people like jubilated. That's the word I kept thinking in my head. Like, damn, man. Because let me give some context. For a few, I can't say when the last time we had a good snowstorm, but it's been a few years since we had a shut down the school for a few days snowstorm where all the kids are outside, you know, making snowmen, snow angels. New York lately, we've been a little lacking with the snowstorms. We had a cold weather. Don't get it twisted. You know, 10-degree mornings, 9-degree mornings. Brick. I talk about brick. You know what I'm saying? Brick. But actual snowstorms to enjoy that cold weather? Not really. Not really. Not in a while. So I was a little jealous when I saw everybody down south is wild, not having fun. In fact, the first thing I thought was, damn, y'all have coats already on y'all? Like, I'm surprised y'all have these coats in your wardrobe. And you know what I'm saying?
Man, listen, did you see there? If you search Atlanta Snow Day Piedmont Park, people had skis, snowboards, you know, all types of skiing gear. I said, damn, these people must do that already. Like, there's no way they just had all this equipment just laying around. People in real skiing gear, like skiing down the street in Atlanta.
Wow.
And then we had a park. We have a park and everybody just gathered. There were people with skis and snowboards going down the hill. Kids made little slides. And it was great, man.
It felt innocent watching it.
Everybody in Atlanta had to go touch the snow. I feel like everybody felt like a little kid again.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was mad that, you know, we were snowed in.
And, you know, in today's day and age, we're all in our own little silos because of the internet and social media.
Everybody's moving fast.
And moving separately. So you really get to have collective events where we all get to like calm down and be together and enjoy this kid together.
Just even if you're by yourself, just slow down. Don't have to worry about anything. I don't got to worry about work. I don't got to worry about school. The power companies, they not cutting my power off. Gas is not cutting my gas off because of the snowstorm. I got to extend it 2 weeks. I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I low key felt that way during the pandemic. Like, oh, snap. Calm down. Slow down. Yeah. Me and my boys have this joke. We're like, damn, I missed the pandemic for that reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Everybody just was chilling, man.
Yeah, I think it was joyous for me to see that because, you know, I like to see folks experience something that they really get the opportunity to experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of people that never seen snow were able to, you know, actually step outside and go play in it. You know what I mean? It wasn't just, you know.
I think in New Orleans and or Louisiana in general, it had been 15 plus years since they seen snow. So I was just like, wow, you know what I'm saying? That's just, you know, I could see why it was a momentous occasion, you know what I'm saying?
Just imagine someone somewhere like New Orleans, right? Whatever, the hood. The most dangerous hood in Atlanta, in New Orleans, where these young kids are sliding on their ops back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Monday, these people slide, and Tuesday, the opposition slides. But now Wednesday, it's snowing. You know what I'm saying? It's 4 inches of snow, and you can't go anywhere. Are you thinking about doing anything violent? No, you want to go get your child and go make a snowman. You know what I mean?
I feel you. You know, it's funny. I feel you. And with that context, it ain't even just snow. Because let me tell you, up until, unfortunately, last night, for the last previous 5 days, it was so cold in New York, in the city, that there wasn't a shooting in 5 days. And it was a record. It was just like, that's how cold it was.
It's too cold. People like, you know what? I'm like, it's too cold to slide on my ops today.
It's too cold.
We gonna wait till this shit get a little warmer, then we could go back outside. But right now, I just need to stay in and be warm. You know,
it's too cold to slide. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's too cold to beef. You know, that's probably going to be the name of the episode. It's too cold to beef. And I be feeling that way because a few weeks prior, it was really brick. And then I heard around the way from my area, there was a shooting involving two, like, middle schoolers or one high school kid. And I'm like, yo, y'all got the time to beef in this cold weather? You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'd be like, yo, it's too cold to beef. I'll see you in June. We'll finish this in June.
nobody is hitting their targets. They all shaking from the cold.
Yes, I know, right? Yo, it's too, yo, my thing is the beef should be between April to October. After that, there's a ceasefire for the cold.
Yeah, yeah. You're allowed to walk outside and be safe, man. It's like, too cold. I'll see you. See you in the season.
Yeah, I'll see you in, we're going to fish it in May. We're going to fish it in June. I'm going to see you in July, and then we're going to handle up. We're going to throw hands. But right now, I got to go to the gym. It's too cold for this. So I feel you. But speaking of beef, speaking of drama, man. He's a reoccurring theme. I don't want him to be. I do not want him to be. I don't. I don't want to feel like I'm picking on this cat. You know what I'm saying? He did a lot for the city of Toronto, for this country of Canada. Could be a state of Canada, depending on how Trump feels. It's charging. I got my daughter next to me. It's charging over there in my room. You know, depending on how it is. But, you know, your man Aubrey Graham, Drake. Well, let's go back a little bit. We have an old episode that I put up recently, but we recorded that back in May, April or May, just after I saw you when I visited ATL. And you know, we all know what happened. There was a big quote unquote beef or battle between Kendrick Lamar and Drake, and seemingly, Kendrick's the victor, so it seems. And since then, it seems like Drake hasn't been handling well. You know what I'm saying? He's dropped records here and there, but they really don't land. And on top of that, now we got lawsuits. First, there's a petition. First, he wanted to petition his UMG, his company, about Not Like Us, the success of it, and was there foul play involved. But now... He recently withdrew the petition and now a full-fledged lawsuit against UMG. And he's going to cite that there's defamation involved and that they allow defamation.
So let me interrupt you right there. My opinion, because this is one thing the Drake stans like to say. They say, what did Drake lose? Drake's still the number one streamed artist, right? If Drake is the number one streamed artist, how did Not Like Us defame him? What deals did Drake lose because of Not Like Us? What companies backed out and said, hey, Kendrick said You guys might be pedophiles. We're going to take our brand deal away, our sponsorship. What? Drake is still the number one streamed artist, so they say.
So they say.
How did Not Like Us defame him?
That's a very good question. I think if you believe the rumors, the rumors are Drake was in a negotiation period during this time of the battle to renegotiate his previous $400 million, if you believe, UMG deal to up the ante, up the price on him, whether it's half a billy, whether it's close to a billy, whatever it was, he was in the throes of a negotiation. The battle pops off. This is potentially a roll the dice. Let me roll the dice and do this battle while I'm in negotiation. If I'm the victor, I'll show the world, or I'll show UMG.
I deserve what I'm asking for.
I deserve what I'm asking for. But he lost, or he seemingly lost. And so now here we are. Now here we are, where he's seemingly not taking this loss well, this quote unquote loss well. Where if you're let's play devil's advocate. If you're for Drake's case, you could say, "Yo, he wants to charge UMG for the funds he feels he lost in potential negotiation, because he feels like, hey, I lost now, quote unquote, bargaining power because of this perceived loss, and y'all trying to lowball me now. When y'all helped this artist to lowball me, y'all helped this record to lowball me. You know what I'm saying? Y'all playing too.
Can't they just make up any excuse and say, we're not lowballing you because of Not Like Us. We're lowballing you because whatever. They could just make up anything.
People want to admit this.
They can say, we're changing our company's strategy, and we're cutting down on certain things and certain divisions, and we only have X amount of dollars for this budget now. Had nothing to do with Not Like Us.
You know, it's funny. I'm glad you said that, because like I said, I follow the film industry and, you know, the streaming wars, Disney Plus, Hulu, HBO Max, Peacock, you name it. I Paramount Plus. I have pretty much all of these streaming services, which I shouldn't. In fact, Paramount Plus, you about to go. And a few others, you about to go. And even though I have I don't want to incriminate myself. I may have a quote unquote fire stick, but I don't even use it. I'm all about, because you know, Andy, real quick, I'm bougie, Andy. I need high quality video.
Oh yeah.
I need, even when I was a kid, I didn't like bootleg VHS tapes. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like them.
I used to go on the websites and stream the bootlegs, but certain, like when you really want to watch a movie, you need that shit to be crystal cool.
Yeah, I can't do the dude standing up in the audience with his head up over the...
Yeah.
I can't do it. Like, I can't. Some people can. They can be like, it's out right now. What do you mean it's out? No, it's out right now. It's on the street. And I'm like, yeah, but what kind of copy is it? Well, you know. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. So, you know, when it comes to the streaming wars and the whole streaming circuit, you're seeing in these little quarterly reports how they're losing money. You know, HBO Max will report earnings losses, and Disney Plus earnings losses, change in management, firings. They're realizing that people, they don't have the consumer base they thought they did. You know what I'm saying?
It's social media is changing that. You know, as we won't have to go into the fan base rabbit hole, but people are subscribing to people now. Subscribe to your favorite creator online.
Exactly.
And you watch their content. That's what people do now. Like, most of the content we consume now is on our mobile phones.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, the HBOs and all that, cable, it's over with.
And with that being said, you're seeing a loss in consumption in general, in entertainment and media. So, I bring that back to music and to UMG. I'm wondering, like, maybe, like Drake, I don't know this to be true, but maybe they don't have it like that to give you
700. Maybe they did. Maybe they did, and then some things changed.
Yeah.
And they don't, or they don't have the right to change their mind.
Yeah, right. That's one. Two, and what if you are, Drake, the highest profitable rapper out to them, but overall, you're not Adele. You're not, what's her name? Taylor Swift, who's always, she's reselling old albums and going diamond. You know what I'm saying? So, like, maybe you're not on that level anymore where, like, you can be a consistent surplus, consistent profit to UMG, where they'll roll the dice and give you that much power and equity, where they'll give you that big-ass check you're looking for. Maybe they ain't got like that. Maybe they're taking the funk with what they do have as far as money. I don't know. But with that being said, the way it seemed like he's handling this with these, Danny, defamation in a rap battle. I never heard that before. I thought rap battles were supposed to defame. You know what I'm saying? On my chest is Biggie Smalls, my favorite MC ever. And in my opinion, the greatest MC to ever live. Yo.
Now, sorry to cut you off. I won't say because I don't want to get fired, but I work with somebody who says people in diss and battle rap, they have never accused each other of crimes. And because Kendrick accused Drake of a crime, that's why. And because Drake accused Kendrick of beating his baby mama, that's why. These are a big deal, and that's why both of them could be in trouble and XYZ. And to me, I feel like it's music, it's art, whatever, however you want to spin it. You know what I mean?
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. I won't totally dismiss that point. Is there something to say about your name being sullied because you're being accused of a crime? I guess. I mean, because I'm referencing old beefs in my head. I mean, Beanie and Jadakiss, they went hard at each other, but I don't know if they were talking about stuff they did crime-wise.
Jay-Z and Nas. Talked about sleeping with each other's baby moms.
Baby moms.
Like a camel.
Nas kind of inferred an old rumor about Jay that, because he says Foxy got you hot because you kept
your face in her puss.
Ain't no man. Remember, for the record, Foxy was in high school when she did.
Yeah.
No nigga. She's still young, relatively speaking. So
you gotta read in between the lines for that.
Yeah. Right? So there was inferences said here and there. Like I said, it's not a crime, but Pac was very salacious on Hit 'Em Up. Very salacious, very nasty. And we all celebrate now, not all. I don't fucking Hit 'Em Up. But we all celebrated that, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh well, it's part of the game, it's part of the battle rap. And it's not defamatory. I get what your colleague is saying.
We gotta ask ourselves something. I think Pusha T was speaking about this. What's too far in battle rap? Is there anything? Can you go too far in battle rap? And strictly wax, just on wax, nothing spilling over in the street. Can you go too far?
Too far. What is too far?
Like. Can I diss your child? Can I diss your mother? What's
what
too,
is
far?
Too far?
What if you have? What if you have a? What if you had a special needs child? And I dissed your child. Would the culture look at me like, hey, you're going too far, Andy?
What is too far? I don't know what too far is. Because how I was raised, I don't know what too far is. I don't know what that means. Because like I said, I've heard it all, seen it all. So for me, too far, I can't say. What I do know is it is what it is. That's how I was raised. It is what it is. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? My bad. My daughter came in the crib with groceries in the most optimal time. But it's all good.
That's amazing. That's a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing. But yeah, man, what is too far in battle rap? I can't say. I feel like what's good for the goose is good for the gander. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? If we go muscling, we go muscling. If Kendrick tells you, A, on Euphoria. It's going to be a friendly fade. You know what I'm saying?
Let's keep it that way.
Let's keep it that way. But instead, you know, remember, outside the records, outside the lines, you know, there's little things he was doing, Drake. He posted a picture of Kendrick's manager, some Arabic guy or some I don't know, brown skin guy. And he was taunting him. I remember Kendrick on 616, he says, he kind of alluded to the idea that why would you put, it was Meet the Grams. One of those records, he said, why would you post his picture? You know what I mean? Like, those are good people that are out of it, whatever. So it's like, you know, you were poking the bear with other people outside of me. You know what I'm saying? Outside of me. So, you know, when you poke the bear too much, you might get something that bites you back. So, I mean, what's too far? I don't know if there is a limit. I don't know if there is a limit. You know, I don't really watch it frequently, but I grew up watching Smack DVD. I mean, I was an adult, but, you know, I grew up watching Smack DVD. Now URL and all the other battle rap leagues.
You listen to those battle raps. Listen to those battle rappers.
In their face.
I mean, we have, and he's somebody who I know, who I've worked with before. Arsenal the Rebel. He calls himself the most disrespectful rapper in battle rap. Okay, so these people, like you said, in your face will say, hey, I'll take your baby and your lady and put them underground. Now you shady, like Slim. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'll eat turkey gravy.
Yes. Like, they will say these things in your face. They'll touch you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to put their hands on you. Cassidy, I just saw a clip of Cassidy. He said something. Nate Robb and like dunked on Arsenal, like literally put his hand on him and like dunked on him. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
These people are not only saying words, they putting their hands on you, touching you, getting in your face. They spit is in your face.
Yeah. And they had this seemingly, I mean, Matt Hoffa from Brooklyn, he's definitely had times where he's had to, he felt like he had to get violent in response. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, or sometimes he was the aggressor. Usually he was the aggressor, bullying people.
Yeah. Then he got whooped by a white boy.
Yeah, he did. Disaster, I think his name is. But, regardless, like, usually for the most part, they have an unspoken code of ethics of, like, we're not going to wild out too much or we're not going to get violent.
Because it's the sport. We're here for the sport.
The sport of and, it. I can't do that, though, by the way. I can't do that as far as in your face battle rap. I can't.
I get to, like, if you're spit, if I feel your spit in my face, I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm gonna get mad.
We might have to have some words outside.
Yeah, I'm gonna get mad if I feel your spit in my face.
Yeah. No. So I don't have that in me, but I respect those who do. And you know, to go back to Aubrey here, in 2018 or whenever it was, he sat down on the shop HBO with LeBron. And he was talking about the Pusha T incident. He said to LeBron, "I studied battle rap, but he felt the line about OVO and OVO 40 or whatever was too far, whatever." So I'm like, "What?" I would ask him. You always have issues with people who respond to you. What is your threshold?
Like, I think Jada responded to that, or Styles responded to that. Like, there's no, this is war. This is war. You can't send a shot at me and then be mad when I come back and shoot your whole crib up.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is war.
I think 50 Cent said that. 50 Cent said, people always hear the gunshot, but never see the slap.
This is war. And in war, anything goes.
Anything goes until you lay down. So
you know what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you a question though. So a little separate from Aubrey, you know, because like I said, it's nasty that he's suing.
I'm calling it right now. If Drake is suing, I don't know all the technicals of what exactly he's suing for, but if he's suing for defamation, he loses that case. I'm telling you right now.
That's what I'm hearing. He loses that case. And listen, I haven't read the the whole 81
page. Yeah, I haven't read it either. But if if the main case is defamation, how did UMG's promotion of the song defame you?
Right.
Somebody tell me.
And on top of that, you know, I've seen some of the documents, weak cases within it. Like, he name dropped actual streamers and reactors, you know, people on YouTube who comment on songs, react to songs, and promote songs. And he gets at them. He gets at them and says that they were colluded with the UMG. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, come on, man. Like they reacted to your songs too.
Go ahead. Drake is not recovering from this. I'm calling it right now. He has his fans, but that time where we see Drake, every song he drops, it's a number one smash, and where everybody is on his wave, I feel like those times is over with.
Yes, it seems that way. It seems like he's a sore loser right now, because you're bringing the reactors into actual documents. They have pictures of reactors from their YouTube streams commenting, and he's making the case. Making the case that you know they were involved in defamation, and they were colluding with UMG. And it's just like, bro, I grew up in the 90s where, like, you know, the DJ Clues, the SNS's, so many mixtape DJs, K Capri's, they would you know, streetwise sell their mixtapes for profit, not get taxed, not pay directly to the companies for the records they're playing on their mixtapes. But the labels knew this is street promotion. This is good marketing regardless. If our song is on a Clue tape, it's street marketing, it's street promotion, and it's a way we do business under the rug, under the table, saying, you help me, I help you. You know what I'm saying? It's not licensed, maybe, but you help me, I help you. And it's an understanding. It's not done right, Mama Lauren. We screw it. My thing is, like, dude, you're nitpicking at the poor old reactors who are at home just commenting on you're me too. Kai Cenat, he showed, he got a text from Drake when Family Matters dropped. And Drake said, stay on stream, which means stay online so you can react to this song I just dropped, because it's going to be the death blow. It's going to be the nuclear bomb. So you had, with arrogance, a thought that you had it made. You had everything on your side, and you're about to win and end it, and then Not Like Us came out. We meet the Grams first, and then Not Like Us came out. So it's like you are being a sore loser, and you're dragging other people's names in lawsuits to whine about how you lost, and you can't accept the L. So I asked you, how do you take a loss, and why are some of us sore losers? You know what I'm saying? But how do you first? How do you take a loss? When you experience a loss in your life, how do you take it?
Well, you know, there's different types of losses you can take. But if you know, if we're talking sports, and battle rap is a sport, hip hop is a sport. If we're talking sports, if I lose, I give people their credit when credit is due. I say, good game, bro. Like, you killed me. You got me with that shit. Like, I ain't even going to respond. Like, you won. You know what I'm saying? I can take a L like a man, because I know that it's about how you keep it pushing. It's about how you continue. You know, look at Takeover. Jay-Z dropped Takeover. And, like, shout out to Touré, mm-hmm. the journalist. I think yeah. he said, you know, Nas had to deal with everybody coming to him like, yo, you heard this? Yo, you heard this? It took Nas 3 months mm-hmm. to come back, mm-hmm. you know, and drop Ether. And then now look at Jay. You know, Ether comes out. Jay had to eat that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Jay, like, how do you take a L? You say, all right, man, like, you got it. I mean, at this time, he didn't tell Nas, like, yo, good job, you got it. But that's it. You let society say what it says, and then you come back. We can do a Google search. What was the next? I think Jay-Z took a little time before he dropped something.
Almost. Hold on. What happened was, I'm glad you mentioned the takeover thing, because what happened was, if you remember, takeover dropped on Jay's birthday, December 4th. And, you know, like you said, I'm glad you mentioned 3 months. For 3 months, you know, Nas kind of pretty much kept quiet. And then on his time, he dropped Ether. The next day, I think, or either the next day or that week, Jay responded with the Super Ugly Super track. Ugly. Now, some would say him being a I don't want to say sore loser, but him being rattled by Ether made him react fast.
Yeah.
With a track that wasn't worthy of his time, ultimately.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But really, he should have been more methodical, fell back, let the circus
He should have created another takeover.
Yeah. And that may take time, because you can't force a gourmet meal. You know what I'm saying? And Super Ugly was fast food, if that. You know what I'm saying? You know, in fact, Super Ugly was like, it's like one of those gas station hot dogs that you see on the highway. You don't want to eat that. That's a waste of your time. You know what I'm saying? And however you feel about Ether, because in my opinion, I like Takeover more as a record. But however you feel about Ether, it was still done well enough where it was able to convince the masses, this is the record. This is the response. And Nas is that dude. And what did Hot 97 do? They with Jay's quick arrogance and being rattled, they ended up doing a poll, not with Takeover and Ether, but with Ether and Super Ugly.
Super Ugly.
And then, you know, I've learned a long time ago, when the fact becomes legend, print the fact. So in other words, sometimes, you know, what's true, what's the true details isn't as highlighted as is what is the legend. And the legend was Nas wins a Hot 97 voting over Jay. So Nas is the victor. But people forget, it was Super Ugly versus Ether, not Takeover versus Ether. So it's like, Jay, your arrogance and you're quick to respond because you were upset, it forced a narrative that wasn't to your benefit overall. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's better to just fall back, lay low, and then respond properly when the time comes. You know what I'm saying?
Drake should have took his L like a man. Drake should have. If Drake would have said, like, for example, if Drake would have dropped a video of himself crip walking to the song, dancing, and been like, yo, you got it. This is a banger. You got
less
it.
Less than the blow.
I like it. Anything he did after that, people would have respected it and say, okay, Drake took his L like a man. Now I can listen to your music. You got me.
You got
but
me.
But now, when people listen to Drake's music, all they're going to think about is lawsuit. Lawsuit. You sued a man over a song. Like, yeah, people going to say it's bigger than that, but you're suing because you lost. So how do you take a L? You take it like a man. You take it on the chin. You tell your opponent, good job. You got me. I lost. If you want a rematch, we could rematch. And that's it. You live to fight another day. But right. We all know in this culture, black culture, hip-hop culture, we don't...
Especially with the males.
Especially with males, we don't mix with police or with the law in general. Like, you don't bring the law into certain shit. And, you know, when we going song for song, come on.
When you're saying I beat my wife and the kids not
saying,
mine.
You're saying that my manager, my film director impregnated my baby, my wife. Yeah, my baby mother.
If we mudslinging, we mudslinging. You know what I'm saying?
We mudslinging.
What's the problem? So you know, that's a sore loser. And I feel like, you know, I grew up with someone, you know, a cousin of mine back in the day, another side of the family. When we were kids, if we were playing Madden or NBA Live and I was whooping that ass, he would pull the cord or hit reset button, you know, on a Nintendo, Super Nintendo or whatever. I'm like, yo, you can't do that. You know, you gotta like take the L, wait till the final buzzer. You know what I'm saying? You know, oh no, I'm out. I'm like, yo, you can't do that. There's something to say about grace in defeat. You know what I'm saying? you know, that'll bring you even more class and more respect to your community, to your audience. But if you can't handle a loss, then bro, it's that reputation will follow you, and it may hurt you. You know what I'm saying? Yo, I got a coworker, a young homie. He's only 24 years old, and so he grew up off of this era of the Drakes, the Coles, the Kendricks. And he tells me, he's like, yo, I grew up a Drake fanatic. I feel weird hearing his music now. I don't play it no more like that.
I'm telling you that Drake's music is not going to hit the same anymore. We'll bob our head to it and all that. But the first thing most people are going to think of is, damn, how could you sue a nigga over a song?
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Like, you played yourself off the streets, off the charts. You played yourself, my brother. Who are you going to, like, it doesn't matter what you say. Even look at the record that he released. And that's my thing with Drake too. Say it with your chest. You always want to, like, oh, this, here's a leaked track from my hard drive that 40 had, you know, but it's all current rhymes. Like
it started that way. Remember when the push-up thing happened, it was a leaked AI almost. We didn't know for sure. It wasn't a presentation.
Yeah, he wanna see what the people are gonna say about it first. Let me see how the people are gonna react to it.
And if you notice, we don't know these people personally, but slimy people, they always backdoor their way into the conversation. You know, slimy people, they never like confront shit head on. You know, slimy people, they do shit behind closed doors.
Yeah, subliminals.
Subliminals or you know, like sometimes, you know, whenever you discover a thief, it's not because they admitted, oh, I stole something, my bad. It's like you find out in a grimy, nasty way. Like, damn, you doing that kind of shit, dirt? You know what I'm saying? So people aren't confident in their presentation because they're just naturally slimy. But like you said, you know, sore losing, you know, it's a problem. It's pervasive in our culture. And we got to do better. And this is a prime example of, like, don't do this. Don't spiral like this, because all it will do is make your loss look more glaring and bigger. This situation should have died out in September, to be honest. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, if we... Not like us. Did more physical damage in the streets than it did to Drake to defame his career. Remember, blood spilled over this shit. They went and shot up his security guard. His security guard died on his front doorstep.
I don't know if he died or he got injured, but here's the thing about that situation.
When that somebody happened, died, I believe. Let me Google it.
What I remember about that situation was, a week or so prior, there was a situation in LA where The Weeknd had a colleague who got hit. So I think that's a Toronto issue.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a Toronto issue. I think that's all Toronto. But that's another thing too. I'm glad you mentioned that, the violence aspect, because there's a dude from Toronto. His name is Top Five. He's a quote unquote tough guy. Yeah, the goon, and he's online saying, oh.
He was wounded. Yeah, he didn't die. I'm sorry.
You know, Top Five is saying, like, you know, Drake got the bail money ready for me. He paid my bail. He paid my lawyer fees. And we're looking for Kendrick when he comes to Toronto, and we're going to hurt him, whatever. But then in the lawsuit, I'm reading that you're saying that this record exacerbated violence with your front door and your security guard.
Listen.
So it's like, how can you co-sign a man who promotes violence on one end from Toronto, but then you're saying this record helped influence violence against you. You can't play both sides. You can't be mob ties and a choir boy. Pick
did
one.
Did you see the clip? Did you see the clip of him in Top Five at a basketball game or something recently?
The Raptors. Yeah, the Raptors. Story.
Okay. So now the court system, they pulling everything up. They put everything's documented. They pulling everything up and saying, who the hell is this nigga right here with Drake? And they're going to go pull him up, Top Five. Just go do a Google search top five, and hear, go hear him talking. Hear him talk. He's going to talk about shootings. He's going to talk about how he just pistol whipped a nigga, how they robbed a nigga, how they got bricks. Right. Like, he's doing all this shit on the internet. And Drake, you're putting this man right beside you. You know what I'm saying? It's not bad. It's not a good look for business. It's not a good look for business. It's not a good look for your case. Right. You know, you have somebody promoting, yeah, Drake, he going to do this and he's going to move around safe because we going to protect him and XYZ. Y'all niggas ain't armed security. Y'all is just, you know what I'm saying? Y'all is hot boys out there on the streets. Like, so you got them people around you, Drake. So what side are we playing?
You hang around five bums, you're bound to be the sixth. You know what I'm saying? And well, he has to realize
that. Put street niggas around you. Yeah. Expect street shit to come.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I feel about sore losers in general. Not just him, but in general, like, yo, we have to learn to take L's better. You know what I'm saying? Like just because you took an L, you know, fight somebody doesn't mean you got to go back for the gun. You know what I'm saying? Like,
some people, but that's the thing. And not to be on this topic forever, I believe we spoke about this a while ago. Some people feel like they can't take the embarrassment. That's why these young niggas is killing each other every day. They don't like to be embarrassed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
They can't take it. They can't take embarrassment. You're right.
So if you You beat me up, but it was in school and everybody saw. My friends, the girl that I like, everybody saw. I have to retaliate. And you just whoop my ass, so I can't fight you. I gotta go get a knife. I gotta go get a gun. And I gotta show people that I retaliated, because that's gonna, you know, boost my ego. And you know, so some people can't lose. And Drake, you sent me a clip of somebody talking about praise. Mos Def talking about praise.
AKA so, Yasiin Bey.
Drake is used to the praise and has been used to the praise for years.
Right.
So the second that he starts seeing someone else get more praise, can't take it. Can't take it.
Right. Yo, one last thing on this, because you said praise. I want to stay on praise, but one last thing before we get to praise. It's not just with males on a street fight tip. You know, I have a friend of mine who passed away. I grew up with her, and she got murdered because her baby father, this is 11 years ago, her baby father, you know, through domestic violence, you know, strangled her to death, strangulation. And supposedly she was going to leave him, and he couldn't handle it. You see that in domestic violence. A lot of times guys, domestic violence goes both ways, of course, but a lot of times you see guys, they may go the murderous route because they feel like they can't handle, you know, taking that loss where if I can't have you, no one can, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, and femicide is big in Latin America. You see it in Ecuador, you see it in South America, Central America, where women are getting murdered and dying by the thousands because their men can't handle their perceived loss in their head. You know what I'm saying? Their perceived whatever a loss is. Because, you know, a lot of this goes back to macho shit. You know, machismo, macho shit. You know, I'm a man and you can't punk me. You can't play me. And to them, taking a loss is more dire than fucking their freedom, than their future. You know what I'm saying? And they'll risk it all just to satisfy that urge of their lick back, their get back. You know, listen, I understand it was nasty what Fulio was doing. I get it. It's nasty when all these rappers be doing their mocking grave sites. We just saw in Philadelphia, a high school kid got murdered in Philadelphia, a basketball player, because he had the highest SATs in his class, mind you, from what I understand. But he mocked somebody else that died, and they got back at him a day later. You know what I'm saying?
In front of his mother, I believe.
In front of his mother. We've seen it with the whole Memphis wars, you know? Back and forth, back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Yo, it's sad to see you know, Yo Gotti and his brother leaving a funeral, and then your mother, you're in the funeral limo with your mother, and you get shot up in the limo in front of your mother. This shit is not, this shit is not cool. Someone has to step up and say, yo, we're bugging here. We're bugging. We're losing. We're both losing too many people, and at what cost? You know what I'm saying? Where is the checking of our egos? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, whether it's domestic violence situations, whether it's interpersonal beef in the street situation, no matter what it is, someone needs to check their cool and check their ego and say, enough's enough. I got to grapple with my own loss or my perceived loss and learn to deal with it. Learn to deal with it. But I want to get the praise. You said praise. You said praise. I want to say, and I'm glad you mentioned Yasiin Bey for, you know, and that praise quote where basically he said, I can't pull it up right now because for some reason with Riverside, you know, it's not Riverside, it's the MacBook. I didn't set it up yet where I could share screen an audio. That's so I'll, okay. I'll do it for the next episode. But basically, yeah, he was talking about how, what you mentioned, how praise can be blinding. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to paraphrase his words. But, you know, if you get too much praise, you know, it could blind your the reality of what's really going on around you, the L's you're taking, the losses you're taking, and what's really reality. I see this a lot with young athletes who are like in like high school, going to college or college to the pros, where all their life they've been capitulated to. You're the shit. You're that dude. You're the man. And then they realize later on, like, oh snap, I'm not doing as well, or oh snap, like I'm bugging and I look bratty, whatever. And the reason why I want to bring up a young athlete is because I'm thinking about this cat named Jalen Hurts. He just won the Heisman Trophy a few months ago. I think his name is Jalen Hurts. He, I don't know if you know, followed the story lately, where recently, with his girl? Yeah, with his girl. What's the cat's name? I want to say,
I think that's his name.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. No, it's Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter.
Oh, Travis Hunter.
Yes, Travis Hunter. Now, Travis Hunter recently won the Heisman Trophy, so congratulations to him. And there was a little bit of controversy. People were doing a bit much, but what it was is his girl, his lady, that he proudly and boldly is with. You know, there's some things here and there about her. You know, she didn't stand up for him when he won. She's been showing to have video.
That clip where she was like, "So you want me to just sit here?"
Right. She was being a little bratty, yeah. I guess you could say. Mind you, these could be out of context clips where, like,
We don't know what is going on. We see 2 seconds or something.
Yeah, we don't know where her day was like that day. You know what I'm saying? So I want to ask you, because I had a conversation earlier about this. Do you because he's been defending his lady, like, yo, that's my lady, whatever. And some people feel like, dog, leave her, move on. You about to go to the pros. And, you know, there'll be a wealth of women around you to dive into. Let me ask you, do you feel like dudes, whether you're in a successful entertainment world, athletic world, or just average Joes, you and me, do you feel like if we have something good young and early, something that you feel confident in as a woman or whatever your preference is, do you feel like you should stay with that person, or you should say, all right, let me at least sow my oats and move on and wild out before I tie myself down?
I feel like if you meet somebody in high school and, you know, you've been with this person for a few years, you guys are together through college, and then you hit the NFL. If you were with that person before the money, you need to stay with that person. That person loved you, you know, before you were the superstar. Then when you become the superstar, you got to worry about, hey, do these women really love me? Or is it because of my money? You know what I mean? But I do see the other side of, you know, you're going to be exposed to a whole different lifestyle. You're going to travel. You're going to meet new people. You know what I mean? So I do understand, you know, giving yourself time before you lock in. But some people lock in early. Some people, you know what I'm saying? So should I leave you? Should I leave? We've been together since high school. Should I leave you just because I'm going to go to the NFL and see a whole bunch of new bitches and all that? Like, no.
Right. I mean, yes, you should have some poise if you're dating somebody from high school or college, especially if you're like, you know, like I said, you're about to come to success. You should have some poise before you lock it in with them. But yo, if you go into blindly in the single life, you know, into the pros or whatever, or just like whatever, you're gonna find a wealth of women or men, depending on who you are, and you don't know them for sure. So like you said, Andy, you know the high school sweetheart you have. You know the person that you built something with from ground up, and they know all your intimate vulnerabilities, details, etc. And there's a bond and trust there. But this is unknown of sea of women out there or people out there where you don't know ultimately their motivations. And it'll take a while to build that trust, that foundation. And I would dare to say, because you mentioned high school into college, you had quiet time back then, more or less, to vet some characteristics, some code of ethics, as opposed to when you're on the road as a professional person, even if you're just an average Joe, you don't have as much time or it takes longer to vet them. Now, if you're on the road for your job, whether you're a business person or whatever, you really are strained time-wise to vet them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes a lot of, like, you know, just experiences with that person to vet them. And how much do you have that at that time when you're an adult, when you're working full-fledged adult? It takes a long time to get to know somebody. So I feel like it's dangerous. So for Travis Hunter, I'm not mad at him because a lot of dudes are mad at him. They're like, yo, you bugging, leave that chick. You see these instances where she seems funny style. You know what I'm saying? Leave
but
her.
But I think all that, like, they saw, they pulled up. She was in somebody else's music video.
She wasn't somebody else's music video, sure.
I think.
But Andy, what woman, yo, but man, gotta, real quick, because hear that thought. For what woman in a male ego's mind, what woman is untainted? You know what I'm saying? Every woman.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, that's what I'm going at.
You know
all
what I'm saying?
These things that they're pulling up, I believe, was before him.
It's unfair, though. It's unfair to the woman. It's like, yo, every person, no matter man or woman, has a quote-unquote idea of what you think is baggage. Let it go. You know what I'm saying?
It was all this stuff was before him.
Yeah,
now,
before him.
If you're choosing to wife up someone promiscuous, that's another story for another day.
Yeah.
But all these receipts that everybody's pulling up, that's before I was with her.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's before him.
Show me something where she's cheating on him now while they were together, and then that is deemed for him to leave.
It's funny you say that, because let me ask you a sidebar question. The other day, me and my homies were talking, and we were talking about fast people. It was men and women talking. We're talking about hustlers, not street hustlers necessarily, but just hustlers. And we were asking each other, could you date a exotic dancer or former exotic dancer? Now, you're in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yes.
So the culture is even more.
I can.
So you can't. Oh, so you're saying that you have. So you have the ability. All right. Listen. I have a story too about this, but I want you to go first. So you, being an ATL, you've dated a former dancer.
This woman was, she was a dancer before she came to Atlanta. She never danced in Atlanta.
Oh, she never danced in Atlanta.
You know what I mean? And she had a Patreon page. Where she was selling, you know, doing exclusive videos and things like that. But I used to talk to her, but she wasn't a prostitute. You know what I mean?
Which is a big difference, a big difference.
Yeah. So can I date someone who's a dancer? Yes. Would I want to make them my wife? I'm not sure. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a dancer. I think it starts getting crazy when you start selling sex. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I agree, and I share a similar experience in my early 20s. Similar experience. And what I would say to that is, I learned, and this person was older. And what I would say to that is, I learned from that experience, you don't own a person. You don't own a person, and you can't control how they move, and more importantly, how they make their bread. Especially if you're not man enough to pay their bills. Yo, you brought up your father earlier. Your father held it down, KFC. Your mom never worked a day job pretty much in America, 40 plus years, because your father said, I'm going to hold it down as a manager. And he provided. You know what I'm saying? So he was able to, maybe in effect, institute a sort of leadership and culture in the household. Not controlling of any sense, but just a culture. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure your mom was appreciative of that. But, like, I learned that, like, yo, you know, you don't own people, especially as men. You don't own women. So it's like, but the reason why we had that conversation is because, you know, we were talking about our insecurities. You know, I mean, can you handle someone who's a hustler in the fast life, making fast money in person with other people, interacting with them, and sometimes them having to, quote, unquote, sell themselves to make that bread. I'm not saying selling your bodies, but just selling a lifestyle, you know, because your dancer might have to sit on somebody's lap and really, like, embellish how they feel about their, quote-unquote, John, you know? And as a man, if you're there at that moment watching from a third-person perspective, you may be like, oh, my God, like, I can't see this. Oh, my God, I can't think about this. Yo, there's people out there who can't handle their woman in the entertainment industry as a reporter. They feel like,
can you believe that there are some men who that turns them on? They'll sit in the strip club and watch they dance with the other niggas and just, that turns them on. Not me, but.
Yeah. They're called white dudes. I'm playing. Shout out to my white dudes. I'm playing. But yeah, you know, you're right. There are people like that. They are. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, some of them are even called cucks when they go to the extra length, but that's a whole other story. But nah, so that was a conversation that we had earlier this week, me and a few friends, and I said that happened to me once when I was early, because when you're in your early 20s, you do whatever. You know, you jump off a plane, you know, I have a boy, a friend of mine, my boy, shout out to my boy TJ, he lives in Atlanta now, he's been there for like at least 10, 11, 12 years, and he told me, he used to tell me back in the day, since we were kids, he would say, Mike, sometimes I do shit just to have a story to tell. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Sometimes I have an experience, you know, just to have a story to tell. Just so I could relate back to you, what was this like and what happened. You know what I'm saying? No matter what was going on, you know what I mean? No matter how great the stakes were. You know what I'm saying? And I get that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get the idea that sometimes you got to live life. You know what I'm saying? Just to revert back and tell your homies or to tell your nephews or whatever. I did this, so you ain't got to. You know what I'm saying? This is how you navigate, whatever. So I think, you know, as long as you have a strong resolve in yourself as a man, you should be able to, like, embrace someone who's a dancer in that world. But back to Travis Hunter. Yo, I feel like – I said Jalen Hurts. He's a quarterback. Travis Hunter. I feel like as long as he's comfortable with the lady he has now, like, mind your business. You know what I'm saying? Mind your business. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't register any red flag, but a red flag is only what's relative to you. You know what I'm saying? We all create our own red flags. It's not universal. You know what I'm saying? You know, unless you're a thief, you know what I'm saying, or some shit like that.
This is the internet, man. This is the World Wide Web. You got to be careful with what goes out. You got to know the culture. You got to know what goes on. If you are some type of icon, influencer, somebody, and you got somebody standing to the left of you, people are going to go do their research to figure out who that person is. So,
right.
You got to be careful. Yeah.
We're 80 minutes in, so it's almost a wrap. But let me ask a question. You were very spirited when the Cam and Jim shit popped off. Do you have any thoughts about friendship-wise about that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I know when we were in our DMs, my tone was kind of like Cam didn't do anything wrong. But now that they've said what they said, he went on Justin. First of all, I feel like Justin LaBoy, like you just using Jim as a clout chaser. Getting him to speak on that. We don't know if Jim wanted to speak on that or whatever. But anyway.
I'm glad you mentioned Justin LaBoy. This whole Justin LaBoy culture where dudes and
I don't
ladies,
like it. I don't like it either. I don't know when.
It's young incel, what was me, quotes that people post. I'm like, what's the big deal? What are you saying? He'll say stuff like, I don't like girls who wear curls. We're down with curls. And women, yeah, men and women will quote this shit like it's documented like it's Shakespeare.
He says a lot of things that people really think and wouldn't say, but like, I don't mean to even go deep into that, but like, who, I feel like there's a higher power pumping out these types of memes and, you know, getting all of us to think one way or XYZ. But anyway, back to the point. I feel like it's corny for Cam to all of a sudden now you want to say Jim Jones is not from Harlem. You know what I'm saying?
Not from Harlem.
He's been standing next to you saying Harlem, you know, and you never said nothing about it. You know what I mean? I think I saw this on Math Hoffa, but it made a great point. Go back to Horse and Carriage. Listen to it. You know, when he got cash, I said me too. When he got ass, I was like me too. Like he's talking about Jim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, what is that saying? If you read between the lines, it's like I want to be like my big brother. You know right. what I'm saying? When he got some cash, I said me too. Like, so now all of a sudden, you know, he was just a cornball. He was the nigga that you just use his crib to smash bitches. Like, come on, bro. Like, I don't know what happened between them, but
Well, you brought up a point. I'm glad you mentioned the whole Me Too thing and the idea that, you know, now that things gotten shaky between them, he's downing Jim. He's getting at Jim. He's belittling Jim. So what I want to ask you is how do you handle a friendship breakup? Because my thing is like, yo, just because we splitting up doesn't mean I gotta like belittle you in the process. You know what I'm saying? Like if we were separate ways.
Yeah, just because we're not friends doesn't mean we're enemies.
Or I gotta air your dirty laundry out saying you got jumped on this street and yada yada yada. It's like, dude, like we could amicably shake hands like, yo, let's just split up and move our separate ways. I don't have to denigrate your reputation in the process. So let me ask you, how do you handle a friendship breakup?
Me, I'm different. I'm a little bit colder. I knew from a young age that, you know, friends are not going to last forever. So I always knew from a young age, I always knew, you know, put people in certain boxes. I knew who my real friends were. You know, people who could come over and my mom know who they are. And, you know, they open the door for them. I could go to their house and do the same thing. Their parents know who I am, you know. So I always had a small circle of friends. Anybody who I fell out with, you know, you just have to let it go. When you understand people are not going to be in your life forever and there's people in your life for seasons and reasons, then you let it go. There's nothing you could do, you know, especially when you're not in the wrong. You didn't do anything to that person, you know.
I agree.
just you continue living life, and you know what I'm saying? You wish that person the best. That's it.
I feel the same way. I feel like people are in your life for seasons. Nothing lasts forever. I feel like that's okay, by the way. That's okay. There's people who I'm fond of that I haven't seen since 07, 06, 99 even. But I know I wish them well in my brain. I even mentally probably pray for them in some way. And I cherish the good times we had. You know what I'm saying? And I don't try to have resentment towards if not even a fallout, just, you know, just slowly, gradual, you know, transition. You know what I'm saying? But some people need a drastic or dramatic breakup, or they need to, like, let you know how you feel in your darkest hour about the breakup. And I feel like it goes back to what we said about egos, man. Egos are driving our worst vices, our worst demons, especially as dudes. And we gotta like take more control of how we as people, especially men, when you grapple with our emotions and our egos. So I like what you said. I like what you said about how to handle a breakup, because I feel the same way. I'm in alignment with you. Yeah, like people in your life for seasons. You know, keep it tight, keep it close, and focus on what matters to you the most. There is one last thing I want to talk to you about, but I'm going to have to save that till next time. Because it's fresh.
Let's do it next time.
I got
the setup, so I'm ready. Whenever you know what I'm saying?
I mean, listen. Sometime soon, we might link up with another cousin who I'll tell you about. He hit me up this morning. And he wants to connect. He told me he wants to connect tonight, even after work. So we'll talk about that after hours through text. But in the meantime, this is the break room, and the reason why I called the break room, because, you know, we pump the brake, stop, and pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Stop, look, and listen. So thank you for joining the break room. Thank you for joining us. You know, we'll be back in the near future. Anything you want to say before we go? Anything you want to plug in or
nothing, man. Tune in, like, subscribe. You know, we on the break room, man. Hottest right. conversations, man.
Right, right. And I'll let you know, Andy, with the break room, with this feed, it's going to be ever flowing and ever present. So what I mean by that is you might see me and Andy chop it up. I got a homegirl of mine. She's very political. She's from Maryland. She's about to be a lawyer. She wants to chop it up with us and chop it up with me about some things. On the political side of things. So you're going to see a lot of various people jump in and out and bring in.
And feel free anytime you have, you know, something scheduled with a guest, if you want to tie me in, you want to call me in for three-way, just hit me up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But anyway, that's our time, and that's it. We see you when we see you.
All right, cuz.
Later.